You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Kiarabilwe Nonyana, always a pleasure to be in conversation with you, VIP Client Manager at Prime XBT, a green screen save for resources. Kia, how should we interpret today's moves? Good evening.
I think, good evening to your listeners and good evening to yourself. I think much of the same, but really characterize our market is a hunt for value, because when you start looking at really the moving parts of the market breadth, you're seeing a lot of movement in the industrial 25, which really tells you there's a bit of value hunting, particularly in Naspers and as well as Process. But if you look at the top leaders as well, Mondi also performing well, and I think it's just the market reevaluating value and really going for the 10 baggers.
We take a look at Mr. Price and Vodacom, but I think on Mr. Price, that share price up 2.8%. Looking at the Fashini share price, how should we understand the two, right? More so the Fashini group. What's happening there?
I mean, when we look at the price of Fashini and all, when you look at the chart, it's back to its 10-year lows. And that's just on the back of the fact that management has found a way to always butcher capital. And what I really am concerned about is Mr. Price, is, for me, is following down the same road, investing elsewhere when you don't have a clear competitive advantage at home. And I think the market is just truly just battering those shares. And I personally think it's warranted.
Vodacom share price also up on the back of their trading update for the first quarter. Egypt, that market doing really well for Vodacom. What stood out for you?
I think this is the first result where Vodacom is integrating Safaricom into its earnings, since they've taken a controlling stake. I think previously they were holding just close to about 34%. Now they hold about 55%. And right now they're bidding down that transaction. And I think Safaricom is really at the precipice of really financial fintech evaluation, because I think they are going to be one of the biggest storers of value and as well movers of value in the African continent. And I think for these big utilities such as Vodacom, they're trying to find value outside of the utility of mobile data as well as voice telecommunications. And I think right now Vodacom is quite rightly doing it well.
Sasol share price today down 3%. This in spite of crude oil going down some, what is this now? 12% I see here, the price of crude oil, $86 a barrel. How should we understand that?
Yeah, it's quite rightly the move from the $100 level in Brent crude per barrel, which we saw later on in the week as tensions in the Strait of Hormuz rocketed up. And I always tell my team is that, you know, you could write a report on Thursday and on Friday morning it will be completely untrue. And for me, I mean, I did write a report to our clients as to why I think Brent crude could sustainably see prices above $100, and I'm quite wrong. And it's much of the same because of the fact that we go into the weekends with tensions quite rightly up, geopolitical tensions between the US and Iran. And it's completely on three fronts. I mean, it's the Strait of Hormuz, as well as the Houthis are attacking the Black Sea as well. So, I mean, right now, it's much of the same, but nothing new. Because as I always say, the truth is the first thing to die in any war.
And you look at more so, I'd like for us to go down the rabbit hole when we speak about the tensions between the United States and Iran, right? And you look at least the capital markets in the United States, their best ever. You'd almost swear that they're just ignoring what is happening. How should we understand that in spite of this high volatility, that output is at its highest?
I think the market quite rightly looks over geopolitical crises, because I think since the 2020, I think it's been 6 years of straight geopolitical crisis, starting from the coronavirus and then the Ukraine-Russia war, and then later on then the US-Iran war. And I think the market just overrightly just looks at it. And how do they look over that? It's just purely just looking at fundamentals and earnings. I mean, some of these companies around the world, even including our JSE, are just producing record earnings. They all bit quite historical. But if you had to look at just the past 90 days, you're looking at the likes of Alphabet, Tesla coming out, Intel coming out with record earnings, almost some of them recording 12 straight quarters of earnings beats and just investing much more into this AI trade. And I think the market is just looking at this and like, what should we evaluate? The fact that Alphabet has risen its guidance on CapEx to almost 200 billion, or look at the Strait of Hormuz closing. But I think that that's what the market is really evaluating at the moment.
Sustainability, because have they demonstrated utility?
I quite rightly think so, because I think this is purely a supply and demand issue. Because when you look at just right through this AI trade, from the microchips and the fabrication plants right through to the hyperscaler and software developers at the front, what you're seeing is just demand right across. And I think even when you look at the final product, which is the hyperscaler data centers, there's so much demand which is coming, right? I mean, I can tell you, Alphabet has 951 million users right now. So almost an eighth of the world really uses Gemini as a front end. And I mean, you can look right through Anthropic and OpenAI. This is just but the beginning of what I call the fourth industrial revolution.
Taking a look at resources, Thungela, Glencore, Anglo, Harmony, all down. How should we understand these moves?
I think it's on the back of that. When you look at particularly Thungela, I mean, I think when you look maybe a month ago before the unrest that reignited, you see Thungela has been part of one of the drivers of the performance of the JSE, because of it's just a coal play and people are looking for alternative sources of energy when you're looking at 20% of the world's LNG and as well Brent crude moving through the Strait of Hormuz. But I think on Anglo American particularly as well, I mean, they've quite rightly simplified their operations. They're coming into just high grade iron ore, high grade copper, and really trying to find ways to simplify that. But when you look at regression as well, the price of iron ore held up, the price of copper has done very well, but over the past few days it's quite rightly come down. But as well as our rand has really performed well over the past 24 hours.
It's trading at 16 rand 74 to the dollar. Is it also just reading the mood of what's happening in the Middle East?
Yeah, I think it quite rightly touched almost $17 to 17 rands to the dollar almost at the end of the week. And I think that geopolitical risk premium just unwound on Monday morning with the news coming out of the US and Iran that they are seeking to regress the brinkmanship which is happening there. But I think right now the rand quite rightly, I find it quite duplicitous. And why I say that is because when you look at the risk factors which should be affecting the rand, I think it's quite rightly held its own. And that's just on the back of the fact that we have great carry trade, as well as the SARB front loading the interest rate hikes, kind of just moved ahead of the Fed, which are going to be announcing their July rates on Wednesday.
Where do you see Kevin Walsh going? He's been very, what, not forthcoming with information or trying to give guidance, right? Where do you see that going? Number one. Number two, just coming back home. I don't think we spoke to you about the Reserve Bank holding interest rates last week. What did you make of that?
I think I was quite rightly surprised. I think the market was really anticipating that the interest rates were going to be hiked up by the SARB when you looked at our inflation print breaching the 5% level. And I've been quite a critic of the Reserve Bank, and I think their understanding of normative economics as well as modern day monetary economics has been quite rightly limited. And I think they view our economy as a closed economy, even though we're suffering through these supply side shocks. I think it was quite progressive for them to hold rates, but I think the discussions at the previous meeting about a 50 basis point hike was quite rightly concerning. I think that's what the market was pricing in, that they did believe that there was going to be a rate hike in the previous meeting. Going on to Kevin Walsh, I mean, I think he's quite a progressive, Fed chair, because he kind of just revolutionized the Fed statement first, and the way he's willing to go and attack inflation, even though the president that appointed him really wanted interest rate cuts. So I think he's really taken this role as his own man, and I think it's really been seen in the fact that he's changed the Fed statement, and it's been rather harsh. Rather hush about what his interest rate outlook is. But when you look at the dot plot, I think we may see a 25 basis point hike later on in the year.
Well, he's been described by some sectors as a hawk in a dove's skin. That's where we'll have to leave it for now. Gerabi Lunanyana is a VIP client manager at Prime XBT. Thank you.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.